it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. You may be seated. Appreciate it again. They've been singing this morning. We do have a supply of cough drops up here if anyone needs them. Praise the Lord. Appreciate all of you being here again on this day. Let's open our Bibles again. This is December the 3rd. So here we are in December. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. And I am still documenting our trip to Israel that we did back in March, and did Golgotha last week, and doing the Holocaust Museum this week. Wow, I could write a whole bunch more again after the event that sprang out of October 7th here in our day, 56, I think, for Israel being at war, and just the hatred for Israel that sprung up. Bible said it'd be like that, but we had trouble imagining that again until I think we see again the power of Satan in this old world. And so I praise the Lord for the power of God in this world, and that's what we're here about. And so in our Bibles in Matthew chapter 2, we want to again look at the birth of a Savior. And today we want to look at the Bible prophecy that points to it. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, and are able. Matthew chapter 1, and back up a little bit and read Matthew chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for fear of pronouncing Hebrew names poorly. But again, it begins with the lineage of Joseph. And he was, again, of the tribe of Judah, which is important. Luke chapter 3 has a lineage of Mary that we looked at the other night, and she's also of the tribe of Judah and through the line of David. And so here we have, again, I love this opening verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Look at it with me. And follow along as I read from God's holy word. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's kind of a definition of that name, by the way. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you again for sending your son. Thank you again, Father, that as we step into this month of December, that we could be mindful of all that was done, that God would be made flesh and dwell among us. Father, I pray that you touch our worship. I pray that you touch our witness. I pray that you touch our work. As we walk through this month, Father, that we could again just marvel all the more in what you did to save the likes of us, and also to send your only begotten Son to do that. Father, we love you for it. Pray again that you'd accept our worship today as we'd walk through some scriptures that point to that birth. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a picture show that goes with this message, and so I want to go ahead and walk through that as well. And so as we do that, again, I'll try to keep up with these slides. Sometimes I'd hand the little button off to someone in the audience that looked like they were going to stay awake through the whole message and have them click the buttons through the slides. I sometimes forget what I'm doing here, but for the sake again of looking at this prophecy of the second or the first coming, the first advent of Christ here in this Christmas, and kind of opening again by introduction the things again that are important to the Word of God. Tracy, could you do me a favor and go click off the third light switch right there in the back? That's the first. There we go. Yeah, there we go. And I'm in the dark here, but I hope you're all in the light again. So as we look here at this as the first advent, and I want to go through again, if I could, Scofield's chain of 80 Old Testament verses. Now, if I read all these verses, we'd be here for the duration. And let's go ahead and look at this one in Luke chapter 24 from your Bibles. Luke chapter 24. I wanted to start off with this, but I thought it more important again to read our Matthew account again of the birth being on this wise. Again, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, you think about that, that's not normally a Christmas verse. And so we want to look again at the Word of God in Luke in chapter 24, starting in verse 36. Luke 24, 36. And this is marked up in my Bible. I trust, again, that you've got it highlighted, underlined, or noted again. And notice what the Bible says, Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them. Okay, so we have Christ in his resurrected body. And again, this is after his death, burial, and resurrection that he did for us. Here, he's given them actually a rebuke, a lecture, as it were. And I'm just going to read a couple excerpts. You can follow along in your Bible in Luke chapter 24, starting there in verse 36. He said, "Peace be unto you," verse 38. "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Verse 41, "Have ye here any meat?" And then down in verse 44 it says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so notice here again, we have Jesus in his resurrected body explaining again that, hey, there's a bunch of scriptures. We want to look at a bunch of them. I'll doubtless not get all of them. I'd like to have been with them disciples on the Emmaus Road, and when he gave an accounting, the Bible says he taught them out of all the scriptures that pointed to the Messiah. I'd like to take that walk with Christ. Instead, I've taken a walk with Schofield here, and we want to go through the verses that point to the first advent of Christ. The fact that he came to die, again, is counterintuitive to what they were expecting from their Messiah. And again, we want to look at that because he came to die. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to be. Eternal life comes, again, to those who would ask for it through the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is, what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so we see again the plan of salvation, the Romans Road, if you would, that we go through regularly here, and I trust you've memorized these verses and can apply them again to showing someone, even this Christmas time, what they need to do to be saved. Praise the Lord. And if you're here today and have doubts or questions about your salvation, boy, I'd encourage you, deal with that. Talk with us. And have someone again share with you how you can know when you pillow your head this evening that you are a born again, saved, I've got eternal life, I'm going to live forever Christian. God will save you till you know it. And he'll change you till you show it. And so again, as we step back then and look through Genesis and look at these scriptures, the very first is in Genesis 3:15. I said we won't turn to all of them, but a couple of them are highlights. And I want, again, that you note them in your Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This is the first of a trail of verses that, again, talk about the promise of a Redeemer, the promise of a coming Messiah. Genesis 3:15, I trust it's familiar to you. Jesus here, or God here, is speaking with them, starting in verse 14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Bible says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This "it" that's called out here is the seed of woman, which is an unusual thing. And so again, here we have note, even as it said in our scripture reading that Dave gave us in Isaiah chapter 7, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And so again, the importance of the virgin birth is bore out here in Scripture. And again, it is because of this very promise here that it's going to be of the seed of woman. God said so. And so as we walk through several of these verses here, I'm just going to briefly run through them. Notice again that that's the first one. The seed of woman. And the it part of that. It's always been curious to me. And so, in Genesis chapter 12, again, one that we're familiar with. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's talking there to Abraham, of course. And he still blesses those that bless Israel. And he still curses those that curse Israel. Boy, I'll tell you what, America needs to sit up and pay attention to that. Again, I've heard the very chants again that the Palestinians make that they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. I've heard in America, on the streets of America, the chant that says, "Gas the Jews, Lord, help us," again, to understand that verse right there that says God will bless them that bless Israel, and he will curse them that curse Israel. And America has taken a propensity to cursing Israel, a very dangerous precedent in our very liberal bent society. Genesis 17:19 says, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed." Remember, in the Bible, Abraham was asked to offer his only begotten son. Last week I wrote up about Mount Moriah and the fact that Abraham took his son to a mountain that God pointed out. I believe it was a mountain shaped like a skull. And I believe again he took Isaac up on that mountain shaped like a skull to offer his only begotten son, because that's where God would offer his only begotten son. What a tremendous picture. Genesis chapter 24. They blessed Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. The second born had his name changed to Israel. Genesis 28:14. Christ is the seed, is to bless all the families of the earth. Genesis 28, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. God has watched out for the nation of Israel." And so Genesis chapter 49, Shiloh means he whose it is, and that which belongs to him, and tranquility. I love Hebrew. Again, I don't know it very much, but I know it enough that it's a deep and rich language. And that one word, Shiloh, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." 2 Samuel chapter 7 in our Sunday school lesson tomorrow, or next week, I think. What did we get up to? Chapter 5 this week. I encourage you to come out to our Sunday school lessons and again, be involved in them as we walk through the life of David. But again, notice here, "And the house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." Thy throne shall be established forever. And when God says that, he means that. Forever means forever. What a tremendous promise. Again, given to David. And certainly we know that David died. David was buried. He's put in a sepulcher of the kings. But again, that kingdom was promised forever. One more verse I'd have us make sure we highlight here in our slide, and that's Psalms chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. I say one more. That means I'm going to quit after this, but there's a good chance I won't. Again, some of these scriptures are paramount. Some of them, again, are just exciting to read. Psalm chapter 2 being one of them. In Psalm chapter 2, you find, again, the seed lines for both advents of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find the seed line for his first advent, and you find the seed line for his second advent. And so let's look at Psalm chapter 2. You follow along in your Bible as I read this great promise. "Why do the heathen rage?" And they do today even. "And the people imagine a vain thing." That's pretty queer. But yeah, sure enough, they do imagine vain things, even in our society, even in our White House today. the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, all caps, that's Jehovah God, and against his anointed. When you look this verse up, Peter preached it. In the book of Acts, he preached again this text. And there he said that they lift their against the Lord and against his Christ. So notice again here in your text, the anointed is indeed the Christ. Christ is the anointed one. Messiah is the Hebrew of the same word, the anointed one of God. And so here we find the Christ given here in Psalms chapter 2. Then God says, let us break their bands to God. No, the king say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4 is God's response. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I cry when I see what's going on in our nation. But God laughs. Understand again that things are in God's hand and in his control. And yea, in his timing. If they was in my timing, I'd do things different. But that's why I'm not God. If I was God, probably most of you wouldn't be here today. Nor would I again. So again, praise the Lord. And so God has things in his control. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. That's a picture of the Armageddon. That's a picture again of the tribulation period, the end times. And then verse 6 says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Praise the Lord. We tromped around Zion all through March. Ask of me. No, I will declare the decree. The Lord, notice the all caps, has said unto me, who's the me there? That's the anointed one. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And so we find again in Psalms chapter 2 a great promise of the Messiah coming and that he is the only begotten Son of God. Remember when there was three men in the fire and old King Neb looked down and said, wow, look at the fourth one. He looks like the Son of God. Well, the modernist scholars of our day say, well, that's crazy. Neb didn't even know God had a son. Yeah, he did. Okay, Daniel knew. Everybody knew again. So David knew, and he wrote it down here that this is the only begotten Son of God. A tremendous Psalms chapter 2. Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruptions. I'll not put my fingerprints on Psalm chapter 22. But Psalm chapter 22 talks again about the shepherd that gives his life for his sheep. Psalms 23 talks about the great shepherd that gives us peace through his blood, according to Hebrews 13:20. And Psalms chapter 24 is the chief shepherd that shall soon appear out of 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 4. And so notice again, Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24 are all about this shepherd. Most of us have memorized Psalms 23. Be cognizant of Psalms 22, and it's pointing to a crucified Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 69 says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In the Old Testament, again, vinegar is very clear. In the modernist ecumenical Bibles, when he was on the cross, they didn't give him vinegar, they gave him wine. Throw out your modernist ecumenical Bibles and understand that God's word is clear and it's consistent between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that never happens with an ecumenical Bible. It never happens with the modernists translate the Bible. They always have their little twist and give you what they think God meant to say. Be careful and understand that God's word is pure and accurate. Psalms 118, 22 and 23, the stone which the builders refuse. Isaiah 7 that we read this morning. Each of these again speaks of the coming first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, is that the one we read this morning?
I'm so excited about both of them that I missed. Isaiah 7 is the virgin shall conceive and bear us a child. Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. What a tremendous list of names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need counsel. You need a counselor. Praise the Lord. When I was in the military, I had a little thing in my back window of my car. The Army guys had M16 on board. We had F16 on board. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, you need one of them that says counselor on board. You've got your own counselor, praise the Lord, and his name shall be called Counselor. Notice again, he's a Prince of Peace, but back up a little. He's also called the Mighty God. That's something that Abraham discovered when he went again after all those that took Lot, and he brought him back, and turned out that he was serving the Almighty God. And it was mentioned when he met Melchizedek there in the book of Genesis. So his name is going to be the Mighty God. His name, the Lord Jesus Christ, this son that is born, is going to be called the Everlasting Father. The modernists tear out 1 John 5:7 out of the Bible because it declares the Trinity. But boy, the Trinity has found so many places in the Bible that the fact that they muck up their Bible again by tearing that verse out, throw it in a trash can, is illustrated again by the many verses that we know there's a Trinity because God said so over and over again. The names given to the Messiah tell this whole story. Isaiah 28, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You're not going to waste your time, in other words, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we turn on through Isaiah, we come to chapter 42 again. Behold, my servant. And so we have a series of verses where Jesus rehearses this prophecy in Matthew chapter 12 and enlightens us to what it is saying. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. And so we notice again that a prophecy of his coming and what he'll do when he gets here as the servant of God. Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. That's talking again about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And again, as we see the great things that are said about him through the book of Isaiah. And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And so we see again the person of Christ united again with the nation of Israel in that context. Isaiah chapter 50. Verses 5 and 6 says, the Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Again, speaking of what Christ went through when he was here for his first advent. Isaiah chapter 52, I'll not again touch on this that much, again to understand, it is often said that Isaiah 52 begins in 53, when it's talking about the servant that's going to come. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, it says. I'm off a chapter. Isaiah 53 is what I was looking for. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of God revealed?
Here we find again the great quote, Isaiah 53. When we went to Israel both times here in the past year and a half now, I guess, I carried a flyer that had the Hebrew scripture of Isaiah 53, all printed out in Hebrew. When you give a scripture to a Hebrew, especially a Orthodox Hebrew, it is forbidden that they destroy it. They cannot destroy that. We've seen them in America. Again, they rip a track right in your very presence and throw it on the ground. And so again, that didn't happen at all when I was in Hebrew. When I got again Hebrew scripture, and I don't know what the rules are for accepting or not accepting, but again, when I gave them to an Orthodox Jew, they were accepted, and they were kept, and they were guarded. They are precious. And even Isaiah 53, now none of those Hebrews had read Isaiah 53 before. It's not in their reading. It is in their Bible, but it's not in their reading. And so again, they don't have that. And Isaiah 53, what a tremendous picture of the Messiah and what he will do for us. Again, quoted by Peter when he preached about what the Messiah would do for Israel in that first message. Isaiah 52:13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted." And again, it goes on in Isaiah 53. Look with me at verse 6 of this chapter. "All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. We have turned our own way," the Bible says. "Everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." What a tremendous portrayal, not of the salvation of Israel, although Isaiah deals with that very bluntly, but this is a salvation of all. And then Isaiah 61. We're looking again at 80 different references about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his first advent. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings." And Jesus, when he read this here again, notice again that he stopped to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, it says in 61 verse 2. And Jesus then closed the book and sat down. And he did not read the part that's highlighted up here, "and the day of vengeance of our God." And he's here to comfort all that mourn. Right out of the Beatitudes. And so notice again, there is coming a day of vengeance. Today he's come as a Savior. Today he's here as our Savior. But he is coming, Romans chapter 5. There's two verily, verilys. I used to mix them up, but I memorized them both again. There's a verily, verily that says he's going to come as a judge. And he can do that because he's the Son of Man. And consequently, he can come and be a judge. And he will do that. And again, when he gets here, it's good to know the judge personally. If you've ever been in a court of law, it's a good thing to know the judge, especially when you're already condemned. Some of us have been there. Daniel chapter 9. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks." We've looked at that over and over again, looking at the weeks, looking at the timing. Look at that prophecy again, that the Messiah is going to come. When the three wise men, we don't know that there were three wise men. We know that there were three gift types. But again, understand that when the wise men came, they knew of these scriptures. They again had access to over again in the land of Babylon, and after that the Persian, Medo-Persian empires. Listen, they had access to the scriptures. They had access to this verse. They knew again of the promise of the Messiah. The study of the second advent must be about verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city. And there is this 70th week yet to be fulfilled, as we've looked at. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 3. "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her, and that he that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God." That's got parallel references, but certainly is talking to
us Gentiles. Certainly it's talking about the fact that God's going to open the door that all may be saved, all people, all nations, all kindred of the earth can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have the birthing place of the Lord Jesus Christ, Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. Interesting, the word study again to look up why Bethlehem there. It's got an extra label called Ephrata. There's a reason for that. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. In Ezekiel's day, he was dragged by his hair to Jerusalem. And there he saw the Shekinah glory of God depart from Israel, depart from Jerusalem, depart from the temple, and again went out the eastern gate. Then it says it's going to come back in, and it's going to come in the eastern gate in all of his glory. In the meantime, the glory of God himself was in the temple when the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh walked into the temple. There's the glory of God in the temple, as is prophesied here in Haggai chapter 2. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Certainly fulfilling, again, the scriptures that we're familiar with at the triumphal entry. Zechariah chapter 11. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor and the flock waited upon me, that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if think it good, give me the price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for me my price, 30 pieces of silver. I said the prophecy that Jesus spoke of to his disciples in that first message in his resurrected body, and his rebuke that they don't know scriptures again, is more than his birth. It is everything that would happen in his first advent. And that's what this is a tremendous study of. Zechariah chapter 13, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He did come. He came. And he was crucified. The two advents in Schofield again have a tremendous summary that's given here in this text. But again, understand that here, as we look at that, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory? Listen, he did suffer those things, and he did enter into his glory. And you can be part of his kingdom by again. Except ye be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except ye be born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Boy, make sure of your salvation. This Christmas time, as we walk through the next couple weeks, boy, I'd have you just wallow in the fact that God sent his Son to save your soul, to save my soul, so that we could have that right relationship with him. It'll change you. It'll cause, again, that you talk about that, that you'd be excited about that, And God will give you opportunity to share that with somebody else. Let's look for that opportunity. And as we step through these next few weeks and head towards Christmas, I can't wait till Christmas. You don't have to wait till Christmas. Praise the Lord. December 25th, as I said earlier, is in all likelihood not the birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the date that the Roman Catholic Church set because, again, it's the longest night. And they were sun worshipers in Rome. And so, again, as we understand, again, the birth of Christ, may it just excite your soul. As we celebrate that birth, you're going to find that there's not much said about the birth, as Dave said in Sunday school here. Where was that? Down in Pennsylvania, the little town there.
Wellsboro.
The Dickens Christmas again. A lot of good moral stories there. But nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. And so again, watch for the Lord Jesus Christ to show up in your Christmas. If he isn't in your kin's Christmas, see if you can get him there. If he isn't in your neighbor's Christmas, see if you can insert him in there. When you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas, you've got to say Happy Holidays. Make it sound like this, Happy Holy Days. And let's go ahead and in this old world, talk about what Christ has done for us. Father, thank you. Thank you that we could gather today and worship on this first day of the week and look at the scriptures all through the Old Testament. I'm sure we didn't get them all. I'm sure we glazed over some important ones. But Father, I pray that you bless your word, cause it would burn in our hearts as we consider that you sent your only begotten Son. Father, may we again have that as our witness, as our testimony. You said that we're to be a witness, that we're to be a testimony of that very thing. And so I pray again that you'd kick us a little, open our heart, open our mind, give us a zeal for you that would show up even in our month of December as the world again celebrates something they don't even know what it is. And so I pray again that you'd help us to be your witnesses. Give us an extra unction again to do just that. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Let's stand and dismiss with a simple chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. The Lord bless you for worshiping today.
So their point would be, hey, let's do our So, while they're playing, so like, oh, how he's playing, let's say, right?
Michigan State. If I have a year, so
Now, if you're watching, you know what? Are you going to take those down?
No.